Amen, church. Go ahead, take a seat, and would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Father, your name is just beautiful. It is holy. It is good. It is our stronghold. It is our strength and our hope. Father, I pray today that we could just continue to take steps towards being healthier in you, Lord. I pray, Father, you would dig up things in us so that you can heal them. You would give us insight that we need, that you would bless us and you would guide us, and that you would be with us in this journey. And I ask this in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good to be with you, church. Thanks for making it out through the snow and the ice. And anybody know where that came from? I was not tracking that for this morning. But it is good to be with you. And today we are wrapping up our healthier sermon series. So this is going to be the last one. And then next week we are starting a new sermon series on the glory of Christ. So we're going to be looking at the 2 Corinthians passage. I think it's going to be really, really cool. But that's starting next week. So today I want to leave you with some practical things to take with us, some of what we've talked about for the last 5 weeks, give you some more tools. And I also want to give you some hope. Because do you ever feel like change is really overwhelming? Like, you know you need to do something different. You know you need to be different. But you also kind of feel really stuck at where you're at. Anybody ever feel like that? Is this going to be one of those sermons where you guys leave me hanging the whole morning? I mean, I know it's cold and snowy, but I'm going to need some help today. And sometimes the prospect of change is a lot more overwhelming than the reality of change. Because many times God can take really small steps that we take, and over time, he can create some pretty significant results in our life. And I know when you're trying to take those small steps, it doesn't feel like it. And when you're taking those small steps, sometimes you feel like you're getting nowhere. And so we're tempted to give up. We're tempted to eject. And God is actually just beginning to do big work in us if we will continue. I love the image of a bamboo tree. There's a certain type of bamboo tree where for the first 5 years, you've got to water it, fertilize it, take care of it, and it does about nothing for 5 years. So everybody who buys this thing, I would imagine, is like, man, this dude ripped me off. What's up with this? I'm at year 4.5, and this thing is hardly a twig. But after that 5-year period, in 6 weeks, it can grow to 90 feet in 6 weeks. But it's that downtime of preparation, of fertilization, of taking care of it, of watering it. And I think so much of our lives are like that too, right? God, he can do incredible things in your life this year. But we might face those moments where you're like, man, I'm watering this, I'm fertilizing. It feels like it's been forever. Lord, where is the change that I need? And if you continue, you will see it. And if I continue, I will see it, because God can do amazing things in our life through baby steps, through small steps, through just small changes over time. So today I want to look at one last verse together in this series to encourage us, to give us insight. I love this verse. It's Colossians chapter 2, and I'm going to read to you verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7. This is the great Apostle Paul writing, and he says this: therefore, as you received Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Or other translations say live in him. And this is the idea of living out our lives more connected to Christ. Then he says, rooted and built up in him. So as we're living in him, we're becoming, our roots are growing deeper and stronger. We're being built up into something more, and we're being established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so I just want to walk through these verses. So the first thing he says is, as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, so walk in him. Now, how did these people receive Jesus Christ as Lord? And if you read the first chapter of this book, the book of Colossians, it's a really great book to read. It's only a couple chapters, and if you're looking for something good to read this week, dig into it. There's great, great stuff into it. But in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul says that, hey, you church of Colossae, you received Jesus from this guy named Epaphras. So that's where you first learned about Jesus. That's where you first heard about him. And as you learned from Epaphras, you began to take these things to heart, and they began to change your life. And Paul tells us basically what they learned, how they received Jesus as Lord. And I want to share them with you today. Here's the first thing he said. He said that they learned that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Now, in our journey in faith, we begin to be transformed when we see Jesus in a greater way. Not just as a good teacher, not just as an interesting guy, but what Paul says is you learn from Epaphras that he is the image of the invisible God. That if I see Jesus, I'm seeing and understanding and learning from God. You know, he's not just a great teacher. He doesn't just have neat things to say, but Paul says you learned he is God himself. That's a huge claim. And he said you've learned it. They also learned that through Jesus, all things were created, that he's the center and foundation of everything. They learned that all things are for Jesus. That your life and my life is ultimately not about us. I know everybody hates that message. But ultimately, if you make your life about you, you'll ruin it. And all the people we know that make their life about them, they end up ruining their life in some way. But when we make it about Christ, that's when our life actually becomes greater, stronger, better, and healthier. And Paul says that's because that's how God created it. Christ is meant to be first in everything. And everything falls behind him. Our plans, our hopes, our dreams all have to take a back seat to the agenda of Christ and our own lives. Paul says, you guys learned that from Epaphras. They also learned that through the cross, Jesus reconciles us to God. Church, God doesn't love us because we are lovable and cool and good. God loves us despite who we are. You with me on that? God loves us. God loves us in all the different shades and modes of our brokenness, because through the cross, he forgives us. He takes it on himself. And so we can be fully known by God. I don't have to hide anything. And then also know that I'm fully accepted and loved. It's the power of the gospel. And Paul says, hey, you guys learned that from Epaphras. And then finally, they learned that they're to be connected to Jesus still and in deeper ways so he can finish the work that he started in them. See, Christ is not finished with you yet, church. If you're connected to him, he's not finished with you. He's got more work. Paul says that he wants to make you holy and blameless. And if I look at my life on that spectrum of holy and blameless, there's some pretty significant gaps. Anybody with me on that? I'm like, Jesus, you better keep me alive till I'm 237, because it's going to take at least that, if that's what your goal is. But Paul says, you learn that. You receive this from Christ. You understand this. And so what he's also showing us that in our relationship with Jesus, can I remind you today, growth isn't suggested, it's commanded. And even in this verse, in verse 6, he says, as you received him, so you receive them this way, and he says, so now walk in him. So now live your life in him. Now, in the original language, that is an imperative, which means it's a command. It's a certain type of tense that Greek authors use to say, hey, I'm not asking about your opinion on this. It's like when your wife tells you to do something, guys. It's voluntold. You know, they might make you feel like it's optional, but can I give you marriage advice? It's not. And the more you get that, man, the easier life will be, you know? But this is what Paul's saying. He's saying, hey, this growth, it's not optional. It's commanded. If I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm always going to be called into growth. And what's so challenging about that is that means you're always being called out of your comfort zone. You're always being called to confront your brokenness. You're always being called to be something more with the help of God than you are right now. But that's, church, what a healthy journey with God feels like. And I just want to speak on this for a moment, because I think sometimes as Christians, we can get a really complacent attitude. You know, I've been a Christian for 30 years, right? I get it. Yeah, well, like, you can do a lot of things for 30 years. It doesn't mean you got better at it, right? Like, you can do something for 30 years and still stink at it, right? Time doesn't mean you're growing. You with me on that? Right? I've been trying to work out for like 25 years. I'm not getting any better at it. I think I'm getting worse at it. There's a lot of things, and sometimes we allow ourselves to have a complacent attitude, and what Paul is calling us to is an attitude of growth, an attitude of humility that says, yeah, I want Christ to keep, I received Christ this way, and I'm going to keep living my life in Christ this way, and I want to keep growing. And I think as we've gone through this series, if you're kind of with us on this series and you've been listening and thinking about this stuff, and you have that feeling like, I'm more messed up than I thought I was, that's actually growth. Church, that's what growth actually feels like. Growth doesn't feel like, oh, I got this all together. No, that's, if you're in that spot, you're missing growth. Growth feels like, well, I knew I was messed up, but now, you know, through the sermon series, I know I'm really messed up. That's growth. That's healthy. Church, that actually means that God is doing good work in you and me. When we think we've arrived at some level, man, that means we're running from growth. That means we're deceiving ourselves. We're actually not doing what Paul is calling us to do. As you received the Lord, so walk in him. That means instead of walking with him, we're kind of sitting on the bench eating ice cream, you know? Just, right, yeah, you're just, it's all, the growth is passing us by. So it's all about continuing to walk in him. And so how do we do that? I want to just give a couple practical ideas today. And these are just different ideas than what we've talked about in the series. But all of these concepts in this text, rooted, built up in him. If you look at these verses, all these things that he lists, rooted, built up, and established, they're all passive verbs, which means they're all about, we receive these things from God. So God makes me more rooted. I have to receive from him to become that way. I have to receive the strengthening of God, the establishing of God. And so much of our relationship is with God is learning more and more how I can better receive the strength, the help, the change, and the blessings that he wants to give me. That's sometimes our challenge. We don't receive it well. Just being in this church for several years, like, you guys are amazing people, but I know so many of us, it's so hard for us to receive help. And so many times I'll be like, here, someone's going through a hard time, but like, hey, can we do something for you, whatever? Can we help out with some grocery money or whatever? And so many times people are like, no, I don't want to take from anyone else. Like, you're not taking. But I just know it's so hard for us to receive help. And if we can't receive help from each other, church, then we probably might have a hard time actually receiving help from God. And maybe it's because we think receiving makes us weak. Maybe there's been voices in our lives that all the time said, hey, do it yourself, figure it out. But you know, walking with God is learning this deeper sense of dependence, is learning how to actually open our lives and say, God, I need more from you, not less. I need help in all these areas, not just some of them. And so I want to give a couple ideas of how we can learn to receive better from God. And here's the first practice that I want to give you. It's the practice of the Sabbath. The practice of the Sabbath. Now, this is an idea that we see through the scripture, and the Sabbath is the concept that for 6 days, I'm going to be busy, I'm going to be working, I'm going to live my life, and then day number seven, I'm going to rest. And I'm going to trust that the world is going to keep spinning, even if I take the day off. That the heavens and the earth are not going to collapse if I stop doing. You with me on this, church? And what's so important about the Sabbath, I think, is that it gives us that reminder that we need God, but he doesn't need us. That he can take care of things, that we don't have to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and we can take time to just enjoy and be renewed by his goodness and his love and his presence. So let me give you a couple ideas. How do we practice the Sabbath? Now, here's what you do. You just pick a day. It doesn't have to be Sunday. It can be whatever day. But you take a day where you're going to intentionally stop a little bit. That's literally the root of the word Sabbath, is stopping. And you're going to try and not, you know, overschedule yourself or have a million things to do. As much as you can control, you're going to try and slow down. And then, number two, you're going to create some rest that day. Rest. You're going to just, whatever's restful to you. There's some crazy people out in the world, like running 5 miles is restful to them, you know? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter, but whatever renews you, whatever gives you a sense of just, you can kind of take a deep breath. Then you're going to practice, do some things that you delight in, that bring you joy. And then number four, you create some time to contemplate, to think about God, to worship him, and to value him. Now, I believe that God designed us to work better with a day off, with a day where we're worshiping, where we're connecting to him, where we're connecting to our loved ones, where we're intentionally slowing down and we're resting. And I believe that it prepares us to receive more of what God wants to give us. You with me on this? So that's the first one. Here's the second one. Now, the second one, this one, Sabbath deals with our relationship with God. Now, I want to talk about our relationship with others. See, one of the most significant ways that God is going to grow you and me as we walk in him is that he's going to grow us, church, through the challenges of relationships. Do you know how God is going to help you to grow in your love for him? By learning to love other people in your life better. You with me on this? That I learn to love God better by learning to love other people better. And so in the challenge of relationships, church, that's where this can really develop in us if we allow it to. Now, in Pete Scazzaro's book, he gives this outline to kind of gauge where we're at relationally, what we bring to relationships in terms of our emotional maturity. And I want to go through this with you, and I want you to think about where you're at on this, all right? Don't think about the person next to you. Don't be elbowing anybody or doing that kind of thing. This is just a self-diagnosis, and here's the categories that he talks about. He says that sometimes in life we can be emotional infants. That doesn't sound very good, does it? What does that look like? Looking for others to always take care of them. Always just expecting people to take care of us, to clean up our messes, to coddle to us. Difficulty entering the world of others. No, very little ability to be able to step into someone else's shoes. Third, driven by need for instant gratification. Glad that's not me. Use others to meet their needs. Says this is all what it looks like to, you know, be an emotional infant. Maybe that's some of us today. Second, emotional children. Content and happy if they receive what they want. What's wrong with that? Isn't that how it's supposed to work? Unravel quickly from stress, disappointments, trial. Hit some bumps in the road, then we lose our minds. Interpret disagreements as personal offenses. Right? Anyone who thinks differently than me, well, clearly they're wrong and evil. Easily hurt. Complain, withdraw, manipulate, take revenge, become sarcastic when they don't get their way. You want me to go through these faster? too painful? Yeah. Have great difficulty calmly discussing their needs and wants in a mature, loving way. Here's the next category, emotional adolescence. Tend often to be defensive. Are threatened and alarmed by criticism. Keep score of what they give so they can ask for something later. Deal with conflict poorly, blaming, pouting, going to a third party, or ignoring the issue, and critical and judgmental. So, church, my point in bringing this up is that when we are relating to people from an immature place, we're not loving them well. And if we're not loving them well, we're not growing in our faith. You can know the Bible backwards and forwards. But if you're emotionally immature and we practice these things consistently in our relationships, there's some gap in our spiritual growth, right? There's an unhealthy disconnect there. So here's what he says emotional adulthood looks like. Ask for what they need, want, or prefer clearly, directly, and honestly. Yeah, this is what I want. Here's why. Recognize, manage, and take responsibility for their own thoughts and feelings. I'm going to own my emotions, the good, the bad, the ugly. I'm going to understand them. I'm going to acknowledge them. I'm going to try and learn where they came from and if that's a healthy or unhealthy place. Respect others without having to change them. Somebody need to hear that today. I don't know who. Maybe they're online. They're probably online. Give people room to make mistakes. Access and honor their limits. They understand them. They honor them. In tune with their emotions and able to enter the needs of others without losing themselves. So we can be in unhealthy environments and not be transformed by it. You know, we can be in difficult situations and still remain in a place of well-being and health and strength. Have the capacity to resolve conflict maturely. So, church, I just want you to think today. I just want you to think this morning. You don't got to tell anybody, you know. But just think about where you see yourself. And I'm sure we're a mix of all these, right? We're a mix of all these. There's some places where, yeah, I'm still an infant there. Others where, yeah, growing into adulthood. But just begin to think about that and think about how it impacts our ability to love people well. Because as I learn to love people better, I'm actually learning to love God better too in the process. Now here's a couple things that I think can help us to love people better that we just don't talk about all the time. In relationships, stop mind reading. Do you ever think you know what someone meant by something they said or didn't say? And then later you find out you're wrong. That's what it is, right? And we all do that. And many times it's driven by our own personal stuff that we're projecting. And so it can be damaging to our relationships. Instead, it's better to clarify. Say, hey, I think this, is this what you meant? Is this what happened here? And we clarify. And then here's the last one that I'll say about this, and I'll move on. This is from Peter Scazzaro. He says, unmet and unclear expectations create havoc in relationships. Church, I think this is actually one of the healthiest things for us to think about. I really believe that unmet expectations is one of the greatest destroyers of marriage. Right? We think it might be like this big, terrible thing, But actually, I think it's a lot different oftentimes that what really hurts relationships. And here's what I mean, that each of us, church, we carry expectations in all of our relationships. You carry them. Now, the problem is some of the expectations that you and I carry, the other person has no idea about them. Nor have they agreed to them. And you're mad at them because you think they know them and they've dogged you on them. And the reality is no, that's not the case at all, right? We're living on two different planets. So what does this look like? Let me just speak quickly about this and then we'll move on to the next point. But number one, I want to make sure my relationship, my expectations in relationship, that I'm conscious of what they are. That's where you begin. Like, I need to understand, because sometimes we don't even understand what we're expecting out of someone else. And if we don't understand it and aren't clear about it, how well do you think they're going to be able to give that to you? You with me on this? So first, it begins with a clarity in our own mind. Let me be conscious of what I'm expecting from people around me. And then, let me ask myself, is that a realistic expectation? Is that realistic? You know, hey, listen, babe, I think, you know, I get home at 5. I'd like to see dinner 4:55, just in, you know, in case. Sounds totally healthy and realistic, right? Now, listen, it's easy to talk about the extreme ones, church, but we all carry unrealistic expectations for people. And so we have to look and say, is this a realistic expectation, right? If you're like, man, all my relationships in life, no one can ever mess up, dude, that's an unrealistic expectation. You have to have forgiveness and grace built into your relationships, unless you're not relating to humans, right? If it's like an angel or something, I don't know, maybe you're better off. But are they realistic? Here's maybe the biggest one. Are they spoken? Are they spoken? Thank you. Are they spoken? Have you made it clear? And not, you know, are they spoken clearly? Yeah, like this is what I'm expecting. And you have a sense that the person understood what you were saying. And then lastly, are they agreed upon? Because sometimes, church, you're going to be in a relationship where, yeah, you have these expectations, you talk about them, and then you kind of come to the place where you say, yeah, I don't think I can do that, you know? And you know what? That's healthy. That's okay. Because maybe that's a limit in that person's life. Maybe, and you know what? Then as long as it's talked about and it's clear and there's healthy conversation, no matter what the outcome is, it'll be good. But what happens is when our expectations are unconscious, we don't even get them, they're unrealistic, they're not spoken, and they're not agreed upon. And here's what that does, church. It just ruins our relationships. And so our ability to love people well is really hamstrung by the unmet and unclear expectations. You with me on this, church? And so I think for many of us, and maybe some of our key relationships, taking the time to go through this, what do I want? What do I need? What am I expecting? Is it realistic? Have I made it clear? Let's have a conversation about it. Church, that might be one phenomenal step towards loving people really well in our lives. And when you love them well, you're learning to love God better. You're becoming healthier. We're walking in this great work that we've received from Jesus Christ. Here's the last thing. Paul shows us, what does a healthier relationship with God look like? Those are the words: rooted, built up, established, abounding in thanksgiving. Let me just talk through them quickly. What does it look like when I'm growing healthier? I'm rooted more in the person and work of Jesus Christ. I see myself not just as my roles in life, as my wounds in life, or as I live up to the expectations of others, but I see myself more for who I am in Jesus Christ. Church, your identity is not your role. You have many roles here. You have a work role. You've got a family role. You've got all tons of different roles. And it's so easy for our roles to become our identity. But your identity is separate from all that. In fact, Paul says in Colossians, he says, your life, it's hidden with Christ in God. It's separate from all of this. And it has to remain separate because our roles change in life. And if our identity is so closely connected to our roles, we will never be healthy like God wants us to be. And we will lose ourselves, we will over-function, we will over-identify, and it becomes a dangerous place. We're also not our wounds, we're not our mistakes, we're not the brokenness that has happened in our life. I also don't want to over-identify with that, because my identity is rooted in Jesus Christ. I'm not what other people say about me. I'm not how they evaluate. It's rooted in Jesus Christ. And when I'm healthier, church, that identity is stronger in Jesus, and I'm able to live in my roles in a healthier way. I'm able to deal with my wounds from a healthier place. I'm able to say, hey, I know you have this expectation of me, but I don't know that that's healthy or good, and I'm able to navigate the world of relationships better because my identity is firm in Jesus. You with me on this, church? Here's the second thing, built up. I'm getting better at loving God and loving others as a reflection of Jesus in me. See, the call is not to love others as we learn to love through our family of origin and the wounds and challenges of life. That's not the backdrop for how we're supposed to treat people and serve those around us. We're supposed to be reformed by the work of Christ. And being built up means that I'm getting better at it. Doesn't mean you're hitting a home run at it, but maybe you're striking out less than you did before. Any progress is winning. Any progress is good. It may not be, you know, where you hope and want to be right now. But you know what? If you're making progress, church, you're winning. You're growing. God's at work in you. And it's a beautiful and holy thing. Third, I'm being established. Now, this word's really kind of about the idea of understanding. I'm learning. I'm learning more about Christ, how he made me, who he is, and the relationship between the two. Remember, we started this series and we said, the more you learn about God, the more you learn about yourself. And the more you learn about yourself, the more you learn about God. That knowledge is intertwined and it's meant to be. And so being established in the faith means that I'm learning more about myself and Christ and the relationship between the two, but it's a knowledge that makes me healthier, not a knowledge that makes me arrogant. Church, our growing understanding of God is not meant to make us arrogant. If that ever happens, we're off the rails. It's meant to make us healthier. And lastly, what does growth look like? It looks like abounding in thanksgiving. Overwhelmed in thanksgiving. I'm overwhelmed at God's mercy in my life. Have you ever had a moment where you're like, God, man, thank you for all the mistakes and the consequences that you've saved me from? Thank you, Lord, that there were times, man, I was walking off the bridge and you pulled me back. That's mercy. Thank you, God, that there were times where I deserved the hammer and you blessed me. That's mercy. Grace is God's favor. It's God just looking at us and blessing us and loving us, not because we deserve it, doing all of that despite us. Have you ever looked at your life and said, man, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this gift right here that's in front of me. That's grace, church. That's grace. And kindness is God's continued patience with us. That's been a big prayer of mine lately. God, just be patient with me. I know this can't be easy for you, but could you just keep extending patience and we'll be all right. Just don't give up on me. That's God's kindness. That church, he looks to you and he looks to me and he says, you know what? I'm not giving up on you. And I'll tell you, if you think that he has given up on you, you're wrong. He hasn't. He won't. It's not in his nature. And being abounding in thanksgiving is this sense where I'm overwhelmed by those things. And church, I got to be honest. Many times, I'm not abounding in thanksgiving. And that's a key indicator that I need to go back onto the path of growth. And I need to start connecting to God and walking in him and letting him work in me and fill me in different ways, because his mercy, grace, and kindness are real. They're real in my life. They're real in your life. And the more attuned we are to them, the more grateful we can live our life. I love reading Ray Dalio. He's got a new book out called The Changing World Order. I always like those books where they're like, I'm going to predict what's going to happen in the economy and all the global interplay of the world. Now, no one's ever right, but I'm a sucker for those all day long, you know? It's like, I want to know, I want to understand. And so Ray Dalio, he's in the world of investments and, you know, is all into economics and stuff. And I've just been reading the book, and he's talking about all these different cycles that the world goes through. And I understand like 5% of it, but I just enjoy that kind of thing. And at the end of the day, I know, and we all know, that it's very hard to predict anything, right? The Bengals are in the Super Bowl. It's very hard to predict anything. But here's what I think we can always predict. If we grow closer to Christ, things get better. Maybe your circumstances don't change, but you change. If you draw closer to Christ, I will predict it will get better. You'll become something different. You'll be healthier. The rooting, the building, the strengthening, the thanksgiving will happen more and more and more in your life. Man, this year, what's ahead of us in 2022? I don't think anyone can say with high levels of certainty. But I think we can say this: if we become healthy in our relationship with Christ, we'll be more prepared. If we become healthier in our relationship with Christ, we will serve God better. We will love people better. We will have more to offer, and the world will be brighter just because we're healthier with Christ. So let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, we love you. We want to become healthier. We recognize, Lord, that there are things in us that need to keep changing and growing and being renewed and remolded and rewired. And so, God, I just pray that your Spirit could continue to be at work in us. I pray, Father, we could continue to get insight and learn about where we came from, about what shaped us, about what's still shaping us. I pray we could learn, have more insight about how we relate to others. And I pray, Lord, we could become healthier through that. We could walk in the way that we received you as Lord, and we could keep receiving from you and keep growing and keep being transformed. And I pray you would root us, you would build us, you would strengthen us, and we would abound in thanksgiving. Bless us, Lord. Help us this morning. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.